Hey everybody, Tim Evanicki here with The College Audition, back again with another episode of The College Audition Podcast, here today with my special guest, David Williams, director of the BFA Musical Theater Comprehensive Program at the University of Miami. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Tim. It's a pleasure to do this, and I'm looking forward to seeing what we're going to say together.
So we always like to get to know the person before the program, so if you could give us a little bit of your background, your career, your training that led you up to your time at University of Miami.
Oh, well, we only have 30 minutes. let's say I originally was, and I guess I still am, a classical pianist. But over the years, I won't even mention how many, I started to realize that I'm extremely valuable to the world as a musical coach, and also someone who really understands how to bring music and theater together. So I've never separated the two. I've always taken the acting portion of it and the musical portion of it as one. And so that's something that has made my time here at the University of Miami really valuable and really fun. Therefore, I'm valuable as both a director and a music director, and often tend to do both. I've played all around the world. I've directed. I've done a lot of ballet, a lot of work with some major, major people, and have directed the music, directed so many folks. But what I'm most proud of is I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher first, second, third, fourth, and fifth. And I have great kids here at UM, and it keeps me alive. It keeps me doing this, and keeps me actually believing that the business that we're in is something very, very special and must be taken care of. I think that's my answer.
Well said. So I always put my guest on the spot when we transition into talking about the program. So I'm going to ask you for your elevator pitch before we dive into the program and get into the nitty-gritty. 60 seconds or less, why should people, students and parents, consider University of Miami for their BFA musical theater training?
Ready, set, go. I think mostly that it is a fine university, and it's for a very specific type of student, someone who is wanting a real conservatory training and also someone who needs a real liberal arts degree. We operate as a conservatory, and if you look at our plan of study, it reads like a conservatory, but on top of that, you have at your fingertips and must partake of a tier one university where everything else is available also. It's a small program by design on purpose. And with that, there's a lot of things that go along hand in hand. We guarantee casting after your first year, every semester. It's part of the education. And also, it's the personal attention. We're able to teach the student in front of us, not the idea of a class. And I think that's my elevator pitch.
So
it's in Miami.
It is, yeah. Well, that does have its perks, definitely. So when I introduced you, I said that you were the director of the BFA Musical Theater Comprehensive Program. And that's not a title that we've heard before on the podcast. So why is that word comprehensive in there?
Yeah, I think it's something that we have tried out for the last couple of years and finding it's honest, and we're trying to figure out how to make that something that people understand. So thank you for that question. So over the years, we've had two or three programs. We used to have a musical theater program in the music school. We used to have a musical theater program in the arts and sciences, and we had a straight acting program in arts and sciences in the Department of Theater Arts. What we found was that often our musical theater kids are coming in probably at a superior level of acting, and therefore they're getting the better training. We've never separated out the acting program from the musical theater. The only thing that was different for our kids, if you were an actor, you didn't get the singing. We've also found that in order to get the job, which, let's face it, is rough in our lives, you need as many skills as possible. And so we are training everybody with as many skills as we could possibly throw at them. Yes, everybody comes in at different levels, but they come in at different levels if we were a straight musical theater program also. The marvel of it is that we've had a lot of students come in with the intention of being just an actor, and with warning, by the way, that they're going to have to do singing and dancing and theory and, you know, whatnot. They work so much harder in getting their skills up to level that one of the things that I'm most proud of right now is we have a junior who did not consider himself a singer, a dancer at all. And he may be one of the most talented people because he's worked so much harder. It pushes, it lights a fire under everybody. So that was a long-winded way of saying we invite people to come to the program with talent for sure in specific areas, but people that want to learn more things than maybe that they're comfortable with. Mm-hmm. I think when I was a kid, the idea of a triple threat was something really remarkable. And, you know, that was a rarity. It's the expectation now. And we're an acting program first, second, or third. But if you took a DNA swab of all of our students, they will read musical theater. There's no question about it. But these students are actors, and we're incredibly proud of that. And so come to UM and learn things you may not think you wanted to learn. And you might just find yourself more hireable when you graduate.
No. So let's say that I am a first-year BFA musical theater student on my way to University of Miami. Tell me what my first year looks like as far as my curriculum.
That's such an important question. Thank you. The first three semesters of a BFA comprehensive of student looks like pure conservatory. There might be an English or a math class, or maybe something that we call a cognate, which is a fancy version of our general ed requirements. However, because the program has been around for a while, we were able to negotiate with the university. So instead of some universities where everything has to be three credits, we're able to call everything basically one credit. It doesn't mean one credit hour contact, but instead of four possible theater classes, we can take upwards of 10 to 12. And that's what I said earlier, makes it look like a real conservatory because there's this core curriculum that travels around. That starts opening up in the second semester of the sophomore year where the university credits start coming in. But to answer your question more directly, the first semester is tough. We haven't killed anybody yet, but 12 classes a day, that's theater and maybe an English class or a whatnot class. It's for a super student, maybe a stupid student too. let's face it, it's a crazy degree, and I think it's insane. I'm in charge of it, so it probably needs to be insane. It's really, really, really busy. You wake up, grab some breakfast, and go. And when you're crewing, because our freshmen run the shows, it's a long day. Long, 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 long day.
So you may have misspoke. You said 12 classes a day?
No, 12 classes a semester.
Okay. I'm glad I didn't understand how you hadn't killed someone yet if it was 12 classes a day.
Including myself, yeah, upwards of 12 classes on their schedule. Let's
okay.
put it that way.
Okay.
So, I mean, you have an acting class, you have your singing for the stage class, which is also an acting class. You have ballet, you have movement, you have voice and speech, you have your private voice lesson with in-house voice teachers, maybe an English class, crew assignment. It's a lot. It's a lot. Friday labs. Wow, saying it out loud, it sounds like 12 classes a day, but it's
so then with such a jam-packed schedule, is there an opportunity for students to take on a minor or a double major or study anything else other than musical theater?
There is, with a giant caveat, because it's a university, a tier one university. Many of our students come, you have to be accepted to the university first, and that includes being in the same pile as some of the sciences. So your academics, most of our kids come with very high academic achievement, and they already come in with some AP classes or some already accredited college classes. That clears out the schedule to be able to do that. It's hard to do that in the first two semesters. I will readily admit it. However, as the years progress or the semesters progress, absolutely. The double major is really hard. There is a tyranny to the BFA schedule, but there are some students who actually do that. We, however, watch them like hawks. And the expectations are theater first. And if they're not meeting that, then we have a big conversation. Many kids do it. More kids come in thinking they're going to do it and then pretty much say, you know, I like theater better. But coming in with credits or taking summer classes opens that up tremendously. And I think, oh, I don't know, there's probably, I don't know, a quarter, that's probably high, an eighth of any class has someone who's doing that. And maybe a 32nd of every class has a double major. It depends on the student. It really does.
Great. And so, what does that performance schedule look like every year at the University of Miami? Talk to me about the number of performance opportunities students have.
Right. I think I'll answer that question, but I'll go about it in a circuitous way. We are able to pick our shows and the number of shows dependent on who's in the conservatory at the time. So if we have a large bubble of students, we either do larger shows or we do more shows. So the average tends to be four main stage and a couple handfuls of black box. We're doing two and two this coming semester. And in fact, after I'm done with you, we're going to cast. This is easier. And so, you know, we've done more than that. We haven't done less. There's that. I think that's the minimum amount. You know, it depends on the forces required for the production, but we don't go ahead and pick seasons so far in advance that there will be a problem with casting, the required casting of the kids. If I know I have 46 kids that must be cast in production, and I know what they need to be based on their performance history. In other words, if Tim has only done musicals for 2 years, Tim is due for a play. And I think that is an important information. The expectations is one are 100% of our students will be cast in a variety of things, not just if they're a musical theater person, musicals.
Great.
So I think that's the answer.
So you just said something interesting that I want to circle back to. You said if there's a larger bubble of students that come through. So does that, and this is normally something we talk about later in the podcast, but let's hit on it now. Does that mean that you don't have a target number or a specific number of students you accept every year?
We do have a target number, and I think it is. I think that the average target number is around 15, but there's so many bits and pieces of the puzzle that the admissions department has to work with that we have to have some flexibility. That is pretty much where we land. We have gone up to 20, 21, and that I think scares some people a bit, but luckily when we've done that, they've been remarkable classes. Just kids that are very, very easy to work with and the talent through the roof. And so it has not reared its ugly head ever. But we really do not plan on that. So the numbers are very, very low that we're looking at. And we're in the process of it right now. And that's the thing. I think that's, if I have any wisdom, there's a school for everybody. And this school is for a very specific type of kid. But everybody will wind up in the school that they belong in. I firmly believe that. We are looking at 15 seats and many, many, many hundreds of applicants. And the University of Miami's applicant pool has shot up through the roof. Every year it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, which makes it a little harder for us little theater folk to hit our goal. However, we keep doing it, and our classes are populated with wonderfully warm, exceedingly talented, and academically brilliant. It's a great place to be if that triangulation works for you.
In addition to the productions that the school is putting on their main stage, are there also student-led works and opportunities to perform?
Absolutely. Again, for my BFAs, for our BFAs, the BFA schedule itself is so tyrannical that we have to be very careful and make sure that, they sleep and eat. However, there are many student organizations that one could participate in, and there's one right now casting another show. There's also, I think, really importantly, a really great school of communications, which teaches film, and all our kids, because they're great actors, are almost invariably always in these shows, films. Also, we believe firmly in guerrilla theater, just take over space and go. And all of this is predicated on the fact that you must be up to date and a great student. You're not failing anything. Mm-hmm. It's not a cut program, but that's a good way of cutting yourself, I think. Mm-hmm. I guess here's probably the biggest question of all. It's an expensive place to go, so if you're going here, take full advantage of it and don't waste what we're all so fortunate to be able to do. Go to class; it's required.
So you said that the number of main stage shows is fluid based on the number of students you have. How often are kids getting up on stage in shows then while they're there each year? How many opportunities do they have?
Okay, good, easy answer. So freshman year, none, zero. Maybe something small, but not on the main stage. The other thing is every class has a performance in it, and every final is a giant production for everybody. However, first semester, sophomore year, forgive me, it's so early in the morning for me. And it's not really early, but yesterday was a long, 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 long theater night.
It's 11:30 in the morning, just for those of you listening.
Tim, did I mention I'm in Japan? Wow, that sidetracked me. Okay,
sorry.
So first, no, I'm right back on the train. It is after all 11:30 in the morning. The first semester of your sophomore year is your first time you will be cast. Our great experiment over the last couple of years is, unlike any other casting semester, we tend to take that sophomore class as an ensemble and put them in a show. So we did the Frogs in Sondheim's The Frogs in a swimming pool, a giant swimming pool at the University of Miami, and they were all this giant ensemble. We just did a New Brain with sophomore as an ensemble. And so we usually do that. What we find is the lessons learned from working with upperclassmen as a group is extraordinary. It's an extraordinary opportunity. It makes for, it's hard to pick the shows, but so far, knock wood, it's been really extraordinary. Mm-hmm. After that, every semester you will be on stage. You have to be. It is curricula. If you can't do that, we will have a conversation, and there are some reasons. Mm-hmm. But we're trying desperately to forget that period that we just passed, the COVID period. Mm-hmm. And trying to get back to a normal normal, that's a bad word for the theater, a rigor that is followable and it makes sense curricularly.
Let's talk.
That's the answer. A lot. So six semesters on stage.
We haven't talked much about dance yet, so I want to get to the dance because that's always a question that's asked of me. If the student's coming in and they've been, taking dance class since they were 2 years old and they're an exceptional dancer, is there a way for them to level up or find more challenging classes?
Currently not. Because the classes are so small, and our dance teacher is so good, we have not seen that as a problem. However, if they need more classes, they can see what they can come in and sit on also, depending on the schedule. That's the problem. I will be honest. If your idea is dance first of your threatening talents, this may not be the idea. We do not, you know, I do not guarantee a dance show every semester. That's not part of how we work. However, it's still rigorous. And I think my philosophy on that is we don't, lots of people have been singing since they're three also and acting. And so we don't level that. I think if we were a bigger program, I think we would need to consider it. But so far it has been working and working really, really well. And that's thanks to really good teachers and able to handle it. And it's interesting. I hear this. You're right. I hear this question all the time, and so I'm always waiting for the shoe to drop and go, oh, this is not working. But it has not happened. It has not happened at all.
The other question that we're asked a lot, specifically after that period that you just talked about, that COVID period, how has film worked into the curriculum? You mentioned student films earlier, but yeah. Is film a part of the curriculum?
It is. We have our own acting for the camera, and then the number of classes that are available in the elective world over at the School of Communication. We could not call ourselves comprehensive, or in fact, an acting program if that wasn't it. That's it's so vital. And alongside that, also self-taping and, you know, all those goodies. They're there. I would be embarrassed if the answer was no.
And how about some success stories of students who have gone through the program? Can you share any exciting?
I can. The reason that I'm not jumping on that right away is I don't know what it means.
I agree. I'm glad you said that.
Don't know what it means, and I can't promise. And you know, I guess I can mention Joshua Henry as you know, someone who's doing his thing, but that's Joshua Henry, and we're not looking for type. It depends on, you know, what you put out in the universe, and I hesitate because I think people are looking for some sort of promise in that. And I can't. You're shaking your head, and I love that.
I agree with you.
I don't like when schools advertise, well, I have X, Y, and Z. I have those, and they come and talk, and they come and do master classes, which I think is the important part of that. But what they're doing has things only to do with what they're doing and them.
I always tell my students that you need to find the place that's going to help you grow to your fullest potential. And if that school doesn't have a giant name that has come through their ranks, then you can be that first name that puts them on the map. And I usually say something like, Oklahoma City wasn't known until Kristen Chenoweth went through and became famous. So why can't you be another school's Kristen Chenoweth?
Absolutely. I could not agree more. And it also, to be someone else is an impossibility, and that goes to our philosophy. We're only looking at individuals who have their own humanity, and so I will not lie to someone and promise them something. And I think there's a promise in that question, and I don't want to go down that road.
Right. So let's talk instead about other notable faculty. Who else are the key players that students are going to be working with while they're there?
I love that question. So since we talked about dance, Samantha Pezos, incredible dance teacher, also a great director and movement specialist. And along with movement specialist, Burton Tedesco is here, who is extraordinary. And we just closed a production of Ken Ludwig's Three Musketeers, and it was a sword play. And we could not be more proud of it. It was like, wow, these are students. There's a lot of weapons on this little stage. and again, nobody died. Jennifer Burke, our chair, an extraordinary voices teacher. I'm missing probably 8,000 people. I'm really, 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 really proud of our dedicated musical theater voice teachers. They are not slumming in the musical theater world, as sometimes happens. They are completely dedicated to what they do and have careers in opera as well as musical theater. I love these folks. John Burst is sitting on the other side of this wall, another music director. And I think this is what's interesting. The number of teachers I've already mentioned and have left out belies the fact that we're a small program, right? And they're all teachers and they're all professionals. We don't have a graduate program, and therefore we don't have TAs teaching the classes. These are the teachers, and I think that's remarkable. I really, really do. And I'll stop saying remarkable someday. It's, oh, I hope people are not listening to this and saying, oh, you forgot me. I love them all. Can we
Well,
leave
then
it at
I will cut you
that?
off, and then if you forgot anyone, it's my fault. We'll do it
You are my favorite. Thank you.
that
And I did forget people. There's no question about that.
They're all remarkable. We definitely learned that. Well, you should maybe also stop saying nobody died. That's going to become
Well,
your
I have that actually.
That's going to be your recruitment slogan for the University of Miami next year. University of Miami BFA Musical Theater Comprehensive Program: colon, nobody died.
But
our listeners can't see this, but I'm looking behind you at beautiful Miami, and
yeah.
beautiful campus. Can you tell us about the campus and the area of
Yeah,
Miami that
absolutely.
the school is in?
Beautiful is an understatement. It's breathtaking, and it's going under the major designs, design changes. The buildings that are going up are breathtaking. We're in Coral Gables, which is a suburb of Miami, and it's, well, gosh darn beautiful. We have a gorgeous lake in the middle of our campus that is just a great place to go and look at and de-stress, because life is stressful, theater is stressful, and it just feels good. It's not the Wild West or the Wild Southeast, but there's life out there, nature, and it's beautiful, just beautiful. Miami itself, well, is one of the most beautiful and diverse, or beautifully diverse, cities in existence. Everything is available, both great, good, and maybe not so. And it's a place to go and learn things. I'm always surprised when people, when I interview seniors about to graduate, what they just learn from being here, apart from their theater and their university training. There's, they learn about people, they learn about food, they learn about sunshine, and plant life. It's, I cannot imagine being anywhere else. I love it.
So even though it is considered a major city, obviously Miami, it's not right in the middle of Miami. It's not an urban campus by any means. It's
No,
it yeah.
it's I don't know, maybe a 20-minute drive or 20-minute monorail ride to downtown. That said, it's not a small suburb. It's a pretty, but it's not congested. It's not. There's really very little like it. I was going to try to find some sort of analogy to another town. Not coming up right now.
No. And you just mentioned something cool too, is that there is a monorail that
Yep.
connects right to downtown Miami, which is very
Downtown
cool.
the airport. And it's fun. And it's elevated so you can see things that you normally don't.
Yeah. I'm in Orlando. Actually, well, by the time this goes out, I'll be back in New York, but I love going down there, and I was able to go to University of Miami. I think the first time I was in high school because I was in the Young Arts program, and it was on the campus. Beautiful, beautiful campus.
Lovely. And getting lovelier, if that's possible.
Let's transition now to the last part of the podcast and talk about the audition process. First question I always ask everyone during the podcast is, do you pre-screen?
Not as a requirement, as a suggested thing. What it can do, well, it lets us know right away if I can say, Tim, please push your applications, plural, forward, the Common App, and also we have a supplemental, and I think it's not too clear. We do get accepted, but what it does in favor of every kid is if you get accepted on Get Accepted, it helps guarantee that there will be a space in the audition process. So if you're going to one of the unified auditions or there's so many auditions around the world right now, we will hold a certain number of spaces for the Get Accepted kids. Because once they're filled, I can't invent time. Some of the unified auditions are chock-a-block full, and I can't get walk-ins in. And since I will hold the pre-screen accepts for that, let me make sure I'm telling the truth. Yes, I am. All of them get in. Great. To audition, not necessarily to the school.
And so do you follow the common pre-screen requirements?
Yes, absolutely.
And is that a contemporary and a classic song and one monologue, or do you do two
monologues? It is. I honestly, I'm going to go out and say what we all know. We can judge something in about 5 seconds. So what that material is irrelevant to me. I mean, I have feelings, certainly. I would certainly like things to be age appropriate and, I don't know. I would prefer joyous, but we look at these with the goal of finding someone who is right for school. We're not looking at casting a Broadway show. Mm-hmm. And so I will say yes, whatever the current general audition requirements are, we'll go with, as long as I hear singing. And I think that's my thought for the auditions as well. Just be good. You'll go to school to learn what you didn't did, and how to teach better when you become high school teachers. That's my idea.
So they're singing and they're acting. Do you do a dance call at your live auditions?
Well, COVID stopped all of that, and also the world got really expensive lately. So we're putting in a self-tape audition. We started that year. I don't know what it's going to look like 2023-24 yet. I would love to do that, but we need to figure out a lot of things.
Okay.
But currently, for the current batch of applicants, it will be Samantha Pezos will give an example of what she wants, then you tape it and send it back in.
Great. So you already sort of touched on this, but I'm going to ask you to go into greater detail. What is it that you're looking for? What is the thing that's going to grab you that is going to say, hey, this kid is right for this program in that audition room?
We spend a lot of time doing what you and I are doing right now, talking to each applicant. We cannot afford to make an error. And by that, I mean, I need to, the talent is there, right? That's first. And there's so much talent out there. So there has been some very, very good training of applicants around the country, and for that I am so grateful. So the talent's the given. I need a sense of humanity, a sense of joy, a sense of wonder, the desire to learn. I will give the stupidest note in the world to someone to work on just to see how they work with it. No judgment, just see the availability to learn and not be closed off and to have a conversation. I can't make a mistake, and I don't want the applicant to make the mistake either. I'm looking for 15, and I'm looking for 15 that I'm going to want to teach, because I will, for 4 years. I'm not a professional auditor. I am a teacher here. And I don't want to yell at myself for making a mistake. But a sense of humanity. And I think a lot of people say that. But just like talent, you know it right away. Someone I want to be with. Someone I. Down to earth is not the right type of thing to say for anybody in the arts, I think. But someone who is comfortable with just being in a room, being themselves, being honest with that, and being able to ask questions, not yes sir, yes sir, yes sir, yes sir.
And my
But
listeners know
yeah.
that I've said over and over and over again, the talent just gets you in the door, but it's the personal connection you can make.
And that's
And
it.
yeah, you're really auditioning for the role of someone they can stand to be around for 4 years.
And that's it. That's
Yeah.
it. I'm not looking for someone to fill, I don't know, Romeo and Juliet or Hamilton. If that happens, great. But I'm not planning that.
Right.
And I also know our faculty really well, so I know what they need. I'm also not the only one. We travel in teams. So we have discussions, and I think, no, I know that we do a good job of the recruiting. It's one of the most vital things that we do. Just
Great.
so it, for students also, but for us, we got to make sure that the person in front of us is right.
Beautiful. Last question I always ask everyone, tell us something you're looking forward to.
Wow. Theater-wise?
Probably as it pertains to your program, but.
Yeah, I would like to know that. I look forward to looking at graduates and seeing that they're making a difference in the world. Because I see that with kids that have graduated, truly making a difference, whether that's in theater or wherever they go. The wonderful thing about going to the University of Miami is you have that large cushion of other than theater classes that you must take. And that BFA degree seems to be really very attractive to graduate programs outside of theater as well. And so people who decide that they're going to go do social work or law work or stuff like that, and then I can see their training in what the work they're doing. I look very much forward to seeing that. I can look at every year and see the difference between fresh folks, sophomores, juniors, and seniors. And then I love to see where this culminates later on. It's joyous, and it's also joyous. And I'm not going to say who, but if I go to a major production of something, whether it be in New York or God knows where, I could see the training. I know what they've learned. I could pinpoint where it came from. It always makes me very happy. It always makes me very happy, and I look forward to that continuing. And I also look forward to the world, waking up and bettering them itself. And political, Tim.
Right. Well, we are in Florida. Oh, sorry. If students or
Yeah.
parents want to learn anything more about the program, what's the best way to get in touch?
A couple of ways. You could just go onto our website and get in touch or get in touch with me. It's easy. dwilliams@miami.edu. Could not be simpler.
Beautiful. Well, Mr. Williams, it's been so great to chat with you today and learn more about the University of Miami's BFA Musical Theater Comprehensive Program. And I look forward to seeing you again around here real soon.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and resources we have to offer at the College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.